Just kidding. Just kidding. Let's see. Feels like we should probably start by saying to everyone in here, hey, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all those who are mothers in the literal sense, the biological term, and happy Mother's Day to all those who are mothers in that spiritual sense that are also in this room with us. Some of you play both roles or whatever. So happy Mother's Day. You are a blessing to us. Okay, well, we're going to continue with our shepherd discernment process. Just as a reminder, this week and next week, we're just going to talk together, ask questions and talk aloud and share thoughts together. Maybe even on the 25th we'll do that, just sort of depending on the pace here. That way we feel like we don't have to rush. And we're just going to reflect together a little bit on shepherding here at East County. So 2 weeks ago, they just asked me, is it okay if we sing in there? Can you hear out here? Turns out you can. I told them you can't. We'll just enjoy the accompaniment to the class in the background. We began 2 weeks ago by introducing just the whole notion of a discernment process. And then last week we did interviews with the shepherds who were able to be here so you could get a sense of what they feel like they do as a shepherd, what it means to them to be a shepherd. What are some of the joys and what are some of the burdens of being a shepherd? And so they shared some of that with us. By the way, we do record these, and so they're available if you need to go back, if you missed something and you're thinking, okay, what did Lou say about it? You can hear it. He's online there. So that's where we started the first 2 weeks. And I encouraged everyone, if you have questions that we're not covering in our discernment process conversations, let me know so that we can address them. And I've received several very good ones. And a few of them I want to address today. And then a few of the questions I've received I'll address next week. And if you think of other questions that we haven't touched on yet, please let me know. By the way, our committee that's just sort of helping organize the process includes Kristen Caldwell, Amy Fennell, Sarah Williams, and myself. And we're just sort of, we're going to do the organization of gathering all the data and feedback from the congregation. So feel free to talk to any of us and we'll make sure it all gets back to us. Okay, but let me introduce, here's a few of the questions I've received over the last couple weeks that may be useful for you to know. You may have been wondering the same thing. And so let me touch on a couple of them. The first one is this. It's a pretty good question, actually. Why are we doing the shepherd discernment process now? Someone said, did we do a discernment process to decide we should do a discernment process right now? You know? And I thought, you know, not a bad question. So we touched on it briefly, but let me be explicit about it. The reason we're doing the shepherd discernment process now is actually, yes, we did do a discernment process decades ago. And the consensus of the congregation was, it would be good every 3 years to check in with ourselves. Just to do a like course check. How are we doing regarding our shepherding at East County? And so it's been 3 years since we had a previous shepherd discernment process. And so just calendar-wise, we're doing it now for the simple reason that years and years ago, we as a congregation decided it'd be good to check in with ourselves every 3 years. So this is the 3-year time. There's no other reason. There's no behind the scenes, we better do this now for these secret reasons. Nothing like that. It's simply because it's been 3 years. And so we're going to check in with one another and say, what do we think about Jeff Dethridge as a shepherd? You know, like, you know, we're going to reflect together on that. Or, you know, it's been 3 years and we're going to say, I feel like this person is a shepherd for me, and I wonder why they're not officially part of the shepherds. And so we're going to talk about that type of thing. Again, no other reason than we're checking in with one another because East County thought it'd be good to do that every 3 years ago, 3 years or so. By the way, we do that with our ministry stewardship group as well. Every 3 years, just check in. How's it going? Do we need to add people? Do we need to remove people? Or, you know, are we just fine? So that's part of the reason we're doing it right now. Again, nothing more or less than that. So that's one question I received. Here's another one I received. It's also a very good one. And again, we've only mentioned it briefly, but let me just say it explicitly. What about our current shepherds? Sometimes we hit a shepherd discernment process and three or four of them decide it's time for me to retire. You know, that just happens every once in a while, right? This isn't like a Supreme Court appointment. Once you're on, you're there forever. It's not like that, right? This is, we check in with us as a congregation, but we also check in with the shepherds themselves and just say, how are you doing? Is this still a work you want to be doing? So right now we have seven shepherds. Brian and Linda Ferris, Lewis Robinson, Jeff Dethridge, Chris and Carolyn Metcalf, and Wendy Wolfgang. So we have those seven shepherds. And are the current shepherds planning to continue? The answer is, for those seven, yes. Each of the seven shepherds are willing to put their names forward once again for your affirmation to continue. Now, part of the shepherd discernment process is in fact looking at possible new shepherds, but also reflecting on current shepherds, such that we're going to send out this form, this affirmation and nomination form through email. And you could potentially, you know, come to someone's name and put, no, I don't think they should continue, right? And then we'd reach out to you and talk with you about that and see what that's about. So all of them are willing to put their name forward if you would like them to continue. So what are the current shepherds planning to do? Continue if you deem it appropriate. So that's where they're at. But then that leads to this question. So this one is a really good one as well. I'll do two more questions that I've received and save the rest for next week. Are we in a position in East County's life where we need more shepherds? Like, given the size of our congregation, is seven enough? And, you know, as we sort of look around the congregation, there's probably two questions to ask in response to this question. Do we need more shepherds? One of them is, well, what do you think? I mean, one of the options of a shepherd discernment process is we might say, we have the exact shepherds we need. We don't need to add any shepherds right now. That might absolutely be the outcome of this process. It is not necessary for the outcome of this process to be, we add more shepherds. So that when we do the nomination ballots, we put right on the form, they're not ballots, the nomination form, we put right on the form, you are welcome to nominate one person, several people, or just simply put none. You know, you may feel like, I don't think we need more shepherds at this time in our life. And in 3 years' time, we'll revisit that question again. So, do we need more shepherds? First question is, what do you think? You know, it's up to us as a congregation to discern that. So when our committee looks over all the nomination forms, we'll sort of discern what the congregation seems to be saying and then present that back to you and say, does this sound right? Second question would be something like this. Do the current shepherds and staff feel like we need more shepherds? And that's where it gets a little more tricky because we don't want to overly guide the process and force a conclusion. But I would say something like this. Several of our shepherds are retired. Not all of them are. It's not a requirement, by the way, to be retired, to be on the shepherds. But several of them are retired, which means many of them travel frequently. It is comical trying to get this group together on a single night during the month. I mean, you know, Lewis and Wendy, you guys can attest, and Linda, we go through like four or five dates before we find a day where everyone's actually in town at the same time. If you had more shepherds, perhaps you could still get a quorum together, even though Chris and Carolyn are in California, right? And Jeff's up in Yakima or whatever the case might be. So that might be useful. And, you know, given that one of the shepherds' primary roles is pastoral care, if you have a few more shepherds, then more people are being touched in the congregation. You know, it's difficult to be responsible, say, for one shepherd every 20 people, but one shepherd every 10 people, maybe that's slightly more manageable. Maybe. I'm just saying, you know, so those are possibilities. in response to this question. Do we need more shepherds? Maybe. But let's discern that together. It doesn't have to be more shepherds. It's not a failure of the process if we don't add shepherds. It's a victory. It's like we discern that together. Great. Or if we add one or two or three, you know, all of that's just fine. We probably don't need 10 more shepherds, right? I wouldn't think. But again, we'll discern that together. In other words, there's no definite answer here. That's part of the discernment process. Okay. Do answers to those questions all make sense? Why are we doing it now? What are the current shepherds planning to do? Do we need more shepherds? Let me give you one more. We've touched on this one the first week, but let me just even be slightly more explicit about it. Could we summarize the role of a shepherd at East County, right? We're not discerning about ministry stewardship group. We're not discerning at this moment about a new staff member. So is there some way we could sort of differentiate those roles from the role of a shepherd to help us think about who we're talking about here in the congregation? So let me give you, I did some digging into sort of the history of East County's definition of shepherds over the years. And I'm going to give you three iterations of that. We've had more. I'm just going to give you three because I think it'll be plenty. And you'll notice that each time it gets longer and longer. Like each time the definition of a shepherd gets longer and longer. But I think we could probably summarize it pretty succinctly. And I'll ask you to say back to me, what did you hear in these definitions? So this first one, this is the shortest one. And this is from probably 20 plus years ago. I'm thinking early 2000s. This document was made. It didn't have a date on it, but I think it was early 2000s, in part because I could hear Shelley's voice in the writing of it, right? And she was on staff, you know, in the early 2000s. Okay, so here's one description of it. Summarize the role of a shepherd. Here's how we summarized it back in 2000. The first one's one slide, the next one's two slides, and the third one's three slides. Cultivators of God's mission. Trying to discern what God's doing and help the congregation get in line with that. Hearts of God's loving presence. Well, that's a lovely way to talk about pastoral care. The heart of God's loving, and then presence is a key word. Practitioners of peace and reconciliation. Honestly, when there are difficulties and conflicts between members within the congregation, it's often the shepherds on the front line of searching for a way towards peace and reconciliation in that conflict. So they do a lot of that. And then, of course, supporters of ministry. Whether the ministry is something in my role or supporting, you know, MSG in their role or the various ministries that go on that are unofficial in the congregation, the shepherds are prayerful and supportive of those. So that was the definition in the early 2000s. Sort of hold on to that. Let me give you one from, I don't know, it was maybe 6 or 7 years after that. Again, I don't think there was a specific date on it. It basically took all of these and explained them a little further. So here's another definition of the role of a shepherd. This one's sort of in paragraph form. The shepherds strive to help East County grow together through its mission and ministry. So grow together specifically by pursuing mission and pursuing ministry care for one another. Their shepherding includes active support for those who guide and serve in various ministries. So again, people in my role, people in the role of ministry stewardship leaders. So the shepherds actively support and guide those. They don't do that work, but they support and help guide that work. They seek to encourage. So a significant role of a shepherd, East County, discerned, again, this probably 15 years ago, encouragement. And then, of course, pray for these ministries. And then pray for all those who are leading them. And they serve as the primary pastoral presence in our community. Everything from you just need someone to pray for to you need someone to sit in the hospital with you. You know, like all of those things, the shepherds and everything in between, pastoral presence in our community. So that was a second definition we gave over the years. Here's one more. This is probably from the mid-teens or something like 20-teens, 2015 or something. So third definition, this one goes three sides. So again, it gets longer and longer. Shepherds are called out by the congregation. The idea there is that they might implicitly be serving. The congregation calls them out to explicitly serve in this way. By the congregation to provide spiritual discernment. There's many things we discern as a congregation. There's some things this congregation authorizes the shepherds just to discern. Some pastoral stuff, or when they're working on a conflict in the congregation. The shepherds are at the heart of discerning that from a spiritual perspective and providing pastoral care for the members of the body. So they're called out. They're called forth by the community of faith, not to rule over. So it got explicit about, what are they? Are they a board of directors? What are they? Not to rule over, but to serve, do, and again, here's our discernment process, due to their proven trustworthiness in matters of spiritual concern. So they're called forth to serve because they've been proven trustworthy. This is not ruling over, it is living with and among. Scriptural qualities, love, joy, peace, patience, scriptural qualities, fruit of the Spirit or whatever, as well as qualities demanded by the nature of the community. So scriptural qualities, things that people in the first century thought were important, as well as qualities demanded by our current life right now. What do we need now among a pastoral presence in our community? It shouldn't say eight. It should say R. I will let the person know who typed this out that they left a typo in there. They're going to hear it from me. Okay, by the nature of community life, or I'm supposed to say at East County, are to be emulated by these men and women. So whatever qualities we think feel necessary for a shepherd at the moment, along with the scriptural qualities we think are important, those are to be emulated by these men and women. Their task is not to decide what the will of God is. I read this last week. Their task is not to decide what the will of God is. Their task is to recognize the will of God. So they're not saying from on high, the Latin phrase is ex cathedra, from the throne. They're not saying ex cathedra, here's the will of God. They're discerning it along with us and helping us articulate it, recognize it. To be faithful to this calling requires time spent within the lives of the congregation's members, right? These are people who engage with the community. While not completely removed from the day-to-day decision-making, their primary function is pastoral rather than managerial. So again, that gives you a sense. Ministry stewardship group does management. The shepherds do more pastoral stuff. With that said, they're not entirely removed from what MSG is doing, right? There is this mutual back and forth and give and take. Okay, so there's descriptions we've offered over the years. Let me ask you this. What do you hear in those three different iterations of what a shepherd is? What are some of the things that stand out to you? And Dan, would you mind? And Jeff, yeah, let's start. Yes, but not loud enough for the people on Zoom.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Shout out to the people on Zoom. Yes. I think it's interesting, the thing that I noticed was that as it became more complex and they added more like specific roles, the third one is interesting that whoever wrote this as the community wrote it, they decided to really, with very specific intentionality, include things that they're not supposed to be doing.
Uh-huh, right.
There's, unlike the other two, that one, the third one specifically says the things that they are not supposed to be doing in their role.
Okay, yeah, interesting.
And there's like three on each one of those
right,
slides.
Right, not to rule over.
One.
Not to decide.
Not to decide. And then
not
to be managerial.
Managerial, yeah.
It just makes me wonder what, it makes me think, and I'm like, what was happening in the community at that time? Because clearly something was happening either in the community or in the wider, like, our context of
right.
Portland.
Right.
That was happening at that time that the community was like, we need to specifically include these not-to-do roles or not-to-do things in their role. And that's interesting on that one, I think.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. That's what a great observation that you can see. There's this line here, scriptural qualities as well as qualities demanded by the nature of the community life at East County, those must have been some of the things that we felt whenever this was written, maybe 2015, I'm just guessing, were demanded by the current life at East County and the world around us to say that out loud because maybe it was confused about that. Yeah, good. Good observation. Yeah, others, what do you hear? What do these three statements, what stands out to you? What are some of the roles of a shepherd according to what we've said out loud in the past? Dan?
Just to follow up on that,
yeah.
It also defines another group more clearly, the management group.
Uh-huh.
So it really does.
Yeah,
distinguishes
a bit.
It's not just defining the shepherd group, but it's also helping define the management and empowering.
Right, good point.
The management group.
Yeah, what a great point. In defining, it empowers, which is helpful. Sometimes if you clarify what your responsibility is, you're empowered now to do that responsibility, and this clarifies what the role of a shepherd is, and the knots clarify what the role of perhaps others are and empowers them to do that, the management. Good, yeah. Other, yeah, Alpha?
I think what it defines for me is that if I'm thinking of someone who is going to be good at CEO, that's a different person than someone who's going to sit with me,
right?
You know, or come visit me or know that I'm hurting.
Right.
That's a different person.
Right.
For me.
Yeah. Feels so important. You can imagine that the people that make it onto a shepherd's group in various contexts are the people who are, you know, very successful in business and they just tend to be leaders. And that's one type of human being with many gifts. That is not the type of human being necessarily that this community is calling forth to serve in that role. This community is calling forth, as you say, someone who could sit with you, who could listen, who could provide spiritual insight, who could comfort, you know, those type of things that may not match the CEO of business, despite the fact that they have great gifts. It's just not for this role. Yeah, good. Okay. Anything else, Matt?
A lot of what I guess what I read out of this comes from past experiences and comparisons, and so just taking that with a grain of salt. When I think of, and I'll use the term elders.
Yes, okay.
When I think of the term elders, I think of a bunch of guys who meet regularly to make decisions for the congregation.
Okay.
And people can go to those meetings and ask questions and make, you know, whatever, right?
Right.
Very managerial, and that a lot of times in my mind, it is kind of one of those things where you go in and you ask them something or you talk to them and they say, well, that's already been answered.
Yeah.
The Bible says this and this is it, you know, at least how we see it. But what that meant for me is that it usually was on the preacher to be the person who was the social and, you know, the person that you went to for all of the pastoral stuff.
Right.
And that was the entire congregation
that
went to that one person.
Right. Yes.
And so the distinction I'm drawing from this is that that takes a little bit of the pressure off of someone like you. Mm-hmm. While you are very, very good at that and you excel incredibly, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And so having shepherds in addition who are also the kind of person that I can go to one-on-one for pastoral purposes is way, way different than I have experienced in the past.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm kind of
hearing
from that.
Oh, that's good. Thanks for those observations. And let me just say, personally, as a person stepping into this type of role, what a relief it is to have people who are supporters of ministry, not just in word. They're like supporting the ministry, so you're not burdened with everything that you might have to do in an entire congregation. That's very helpful. And also, as you're hinting at here, not the one sitting in a room telling you what all the right decisions are. This congregation has suggested perhaps that's not what we're looking for. That's not what God's calling us to. We're calling us to a group of people with some spiritual insight who will help us discern together. And that's, again, you can see a difference there, and that's what this congregation has found helpful and good according to God's will. Yeah. Melinda.
Well, I guess kind of attached to that or along with that, it's not only what I hear in all of these is not only pastoral care to the congregation, but pastoral care to our ministers. Mm-hmm. That there is a significance of, it's not just going alongside the minister, there is care and attention too.
Yeah.
And that that there is, again, I guess using kind of Matt's language, when I think of elders in the past, there was kind of this, I don't know, as a preacher's kid, there I've experienced a little bit of maybe fear and trembling of like when the elder, like, we need to talk to you, minister, of what that looked like, and always kind of being there to kind of keep them in check, keep them in place, not as someone who saw care to them. Mm. And when I read this, when I think of our shepherds, the experience I've had, I think of a group that not only could any of our members go to them, but any of our staff mm-hmm. could go and say, hey, this is going on, and it does, and without fear of losing my job or fear of all of the things that can happen in a work hierarchy, that here it's like, we're here to care for you too. And I hear that in all of these, is that there is a care for our leadership, our staff, paid leadership, that is care, not rule.
Right.
And I hear that in this language, and I value that. And ultimately, that's one of the reasons why Michael and I chose this congregation.
Yeah, great observations. And let me just say from personal experience, absolutely what our shepherds are doing, trying to care for me and Tyler when he was here, and now Billy and Carolyn, absolutely. In fact, just a little over a year ago, we had something we had to share together in a shepherd's meeting that was difficult. And I remember saying out loud, you're the only people I have to share this with. And immediately I received phone calls and emails and support from the shepherd saying, we're going to carry this with you. You know, it was so relieving to me to not be the person, as Matt's saying, who had to carry all that. I could give it to these shepherds and they would hold it with me. So, yeah. Gina, is that I couldn't tell if you were scratching or if that was a hand up. Yeah.
That was a hand up.
If you move at all, I'm calling on you.
A lazy sort of hand up. Kind of along those lines, and just looking at the definitions over the years, I remember when I was just saying to Becca, I remember back when we were deciding if we were going to have women elders, and then we made the switch over to shepherds, because we had just graduated from high school and we were having our own like post youth group Bible study, existential crises going on. But I remember us all talking about it as a group, because everyone was talking about it. I remember at the time one of the reasons why we switched over to, you know, having women elders or shepherds was just recognizing that those people are already doing that work mm-hmm. in our community. So we're not like assigning people to do these tasks. We're recognizing that they're already doing this shepherd work, right? They're already shepherds of us. And I think that that's reflected in the change of the definitions over the years, because on that first slide, this is a list of mm-hmm. tasks that you need to fit into. These are the things that you will be expected to do, whereas like these later definitions are, and kind of on, I think it was the last one there, where it's like, it's not their job to be the arbiters of God's will, but to recognize God's will.
Right.
And I kind of feel like that's what we've done with our shepherds now, is not that we're telling them what they need to do, but we're recognizing God's work through them already. So we're kind of just recognizing that they're already doing that work in the community. So, and I see that reflected in the change of definitions.
Definitions
here.
Yeah. Thanks, Gina. Yeah, it has a feel of when in Acts 10 through 15, and they're just sort of looking at Gentiles who hadn't been circumcised and saying, but it sure seems like God is working through them in the same way God is working through us and calling them to ministry. Who are we to stand in the way of that? And you're pointing out that's sort of how the process of discernment went with female shepherds. Seems like God is working through them in these ways we think are shepherding ways. Who are we to stand in the way of that? So we recognized it in them instead of told them fit this role. Yeah, great thought. Okay, Amy, and then let's read a passage together.
There's a level of peaceableness in all of the definitions mm-hmm. in being the daughter of of my dad, who was not a part of a peaceable eldership for a long time, it is so refreshing to know the care that's given to the shepherds by the other shepherds as well, and that there's not this animosity when there's a situation or things like that. I mean, I remember finding notes in our church box from other elders to my dad, and it was just gross and not Christ-like, and it was really disheartening to where he stepped away and then went back at another time because of people like Warren, who shepherded with him, regardless of whether he was an elder or not.
Right.
Legit peaceable shepherding happened.
Yeah.
Outside of that space too.
Right. No, that's good. Karen, did you have something as well? Okay. And I appreciate you mentioning that the peaceable nature, part of the goodness of calling the shepherds and saying, we recognize you are not here to give all the answers. It allows them to not have all the answers, and allowing them the freedom to not have to have all the answers creates a spirit of peaceableness immediately. Because you can say, I don't know. And you can say, I was wrong. And you can say, I'm sorry. Because you're not required to have it all figured out. So it creates that peaceable atmosphere as it is. So that, again, reminds you the type of person we're here looking for. Yeah. Karen?
In a lot of the congregations that was formerly associated with, the elders were the controllers. And when the elders were selected, you know, people aspired to that because they more enjoyed that role, it seemed like. Mm. And they would make decisions to control the congregation. The way that this is written and the way it seems to have evolved is a spreading of responsibility so that the people who are chosen to be shepherds know that they are not the controllers. They are the encouragers of people to participate in the activity of God. They're not to control them. They're not to decide about their lives. They are to be a part of their lives, and it's a whole different way of thinking about it than I have seen in prior congregations, and it encourages the type of people who are motivated by service rather than administration or control.
Right. Oh, that was really well put. I love the spirit that you're articulating for us, because it resonates so deeply with me of it is leadership. It is a very different version of leadership than perhaps we experience just in the world around us. And that's part of our witness. We're demonstrating a different way you can imagine what leadership looks like. And in this sense, that is, it's not about control. It's about equipping and encouraging so that we can find God's mission and get involved with it, you know. Anyway, thanks for saying that. So then the question becomes, okay, given all of that that you're recognizing here, who are you seeing in our congregation who is that, who does that, who's already filling that role? Obviously, our current shepherds, right? But who do you see that's doing that? That's sort of the question that's before us. Now, one of the interesting things about today's lectionary passages is that 3 out of the 4 use the word shepherd today. And I love just the serendipitousness of that. Serendipity of that? The serendipity of that. That we have passages that speak about being a shepherd. Now, they're, of course, referring to Christ as the good shepherd, but you can extrapolate from them. I believe one of the shepherds said this last week. I'm trying to emulate the good shepherd in my shepherding, right? So here's what I'd like to do. I just want to read one of the passages we have. And this is what we've said more recently. Prayer, spiritual discernment, pastoral care tend to be the roles. Okay, let's do this. We have Psalm 23 today. We get Psalm 23 like once a quarter. You know, like every other psalm, once every 3 years. But we get Psalm 23 once a quarter with the lectionary. So we get it again today. So I want you to hear this passage. I'll just read it out loud to us. We'll read it again in the welcome. Hear this passage and think of it in terms of a shepherd at East County and see who it calls to mind for you, and just note the qualities that are portrayed. Like if we're saying, okay, we want shepherds that have biblical characteristics, here's one example that just happens to be our lectionary reading for today. So see what it calls to mind about what a shepherd is. Okay, so here's the passage. You probably haven't memorized, very familiar, right? The Lord is my shepherd, so I'm going to emulate the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. The Lord, the good shepherd, restores my soul, leads me in right paths for the sake of God's name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you, good shepherd, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. So let me ask you this, as you've heard these other definitions of shepherds that we've created over the years, what do you hear from Psalm 23's definition of a shepherd? And again, all of this is about the Lord, no doubt. We're trying to emulate the good shepherd. So what do you hear about the good shepherd? Kristen?
Beta's got sunshine.
What a lovely ringtone.
That is a nice ringtone. Sorry, Veda. Veda hates being the center of attention. I know. Sorry. What I was going to say is...
Yes, please.
What I hear is the good shepherd brings me peace. And even when the rod and the staff are required, mm-hmm. which implies guidance, mm-hmm. not necessarily, you know, beating or anything
right.
like that, but just it implies guidance, because sometimes spiritual discernment is necessary,
right.
and people are either seeking guidance or not, but need help.
Right.
That there's just a peace theme. Mm.
Yes, that flows throughout it. Thanks. Good. Excellent. Others, what do you see? Melinda? Let's start over here with Kay, and then Melinda.
Restores my soul.
Ah, yeah.
I see that the verses following that are the ways in which I am restored.
Mm-hmm.
By comfort, preparing a table, all of those lovely, wonderful, calming concepts are there provided to restore my soul.
Ah.
When I think of a shepherd, the idea that, you know, normally when we come to a shepherd, we come because we need to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
We need the comfort, we need the acceptance, and so I think of a shepherd as restoring my soul.
Thanks, yeah. Practitioners of restoration. Lovely, thank you. Melinda?
I just want to make Jeff run. Mm-hmm. When I think about the Good Shepherd in this verse, there is no promise of no evil and no enemies. There's the opposite, actually, that there is evil and there is enemies.
Yeah.
But there's a presence there in it, that he will be there with me. He will be in it with me. And so then when I think about our shepherds, emulating this, that there's going to be times when we have enemies. There's going to be times when there's evil around. I don't have to walk that walk alone, that I can, that it's not just like I can call up somebody. It's that you will stand with me with my enemies. You will hold me up when I am scarred and bleeding and bruised, and you will come and anoint my head with oil. You will treat my wounds and you will care for me, because enemies might come. The wolves came for the sheep. They did. The shepherd was there to fight them off with the sheep and then tend to the sheep after the wolves left. And that's also a part of the shepherds.
Yeah, good recognition. There is going to be evil. There is going to be enemies. Who are the people you'd want to stand with you given that reality? And that's who we're thinking of here for a good shepherd. Yeah, great. Dennis, wait for the mic just so we can hear on Zoom.
When I look at it, I'm...
And you gotta get that up there. The people on Zoom can't hear you.
When I'm looking at the phrase, you anoint my head with oil. Mm-hmm. The oil of anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Mm. It's an assistance of breaking the bondage, whatever that bondage is. Because
that's good.
The idea of the anointing oil and looking at what the anointing oil has represented throughout Scripture.
Thanks. Yeah, that oil breaks bondage. So those who are leading you into freedom, the freedom to live the life you were made for, those who are leading you into that, breaking the bondage, helping you with that, perhaps are part of what it means to be a good shepherd. Good. You know, I find it interesting. Thanks for that. That's a helpful comment. I find it interesting that it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies, you bring me together with the person with whom I'm having conflict or the group or whatever. You prepare a table, like this welcome space for all, and help us try and find fellowship at that table. What a lovely way to imagine what a shepherd is doing. To some degree at times. So then the question is, okay, who do you think of in our congregation that is doing this? Who are the good shepherds among us? So where I'd like to begin next week is I have a printout here just of everyone's name in the congregation that I'll hand out so you can look at the sheets. And I'm just going to want us to really just talk in like groups of four or whatever and just say, you know, as I was thinking about some of this over the last couple of weeks, if I've been praying about it, here's a few names that have come to mind for me. And just share them with one another just so you can hear one another say it. And then we'll share them out loud with one another so we can all hear what we're saying. Again, not to say we're necessarily going to add shepherds. We might not, but we're going to discern that together and sort of see. So be thinking about and praying about these very qualities. Who in the congregation is already the good shepherd? Help us find them together for the sake of God's mission and ministry here at East County. So that's where we're going to start next week. Let me share this last thing with you before we end. We're going to today, Carolyn's in Los Angeles today at a congregation where her brother-in-law is the preacher, I guess. Their brother-in-law is the preacher. And after church today, she's going to send an email out to everyone. It's going to have a link on it for you. And the link is called Shepherd Affirmation and Nomination Form. And the reason you're going to have that link now is not because you need to click on it and fill it out now. It's so that you have it available as the Spirit guides you, so that by the end of this month, you can click on that link, fill it out, and submit it. It only takes a few minutes, where you can affirm or not our current shepherds. And then you can list as nominees, or none, any new shepherds. And that's it. That's all there is to this form. And then you submit it, and then the committee looks at it and tries to discern what the congregation seems to be saying, and then presents it back to you and says, have we heard you correctly? So that form is going to go out today through email so that you have the link. We'll probably send it out again and then again just to make sure everyone has it. But just so you know, that's coming out through email today. You don't have to submit it today. It's just available to you for when you're ready to submit it with affirmations or not, nominations or not for shepherds. So I'm going to make an announcement about that later for those who aren't here today at 9:30, but I wanted to let you all know about that. Okay, please continue to... let me see what I've got here. Here we go. Yes, these are your three tasks. Continue in prayer. Please continue to pray. Please continue to talk. Just talk to one another. What are you thinking? Do we need shepherds? Do we not need shepherds? Share with one another. And then please keep showing up at 9:30 on Sunday so we can have as many people as possible discerning together. So those are your tasks at the moment as we continue this discernment. Okay. Thanks, friends. We'll be back in a few minutes here.